All right, so on the podcast today, we have Jason Fulton. This is his second time on the podcast. Jason is the head football coach at Newton Community High School in Newton, Illinois. He talks about a lot of different subjects, and I know you will love listening to him on the Mind of a Football Coach podcast. All right, so we have Jason Fulton back on the podcast. Coach, you were my second phone interview, and now we've stepped up our game to Zoom with an actual microphone over here. So, Coach, welcome back. It's the podcast has come a long way.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me back on. It was a blast the first time. I had a great time, and so I really appreciate coming back. And you reached out the other day. I was like, heck yeah, I want to do that. I tell you what, you do a great job. I really enjoy the podcast. I've fallen behind a little bit here lately. I've been a little bit busy to listen, to catch up on all of them. But, man, I really enjoy them. You've had some great people on this podcast. I've reached out to a couple of them. You know, just they, as you say, the nuggets that they bring and to the football world and everything else. And I tell you what, you've done a great job of promoting our sport and everything else. So this is a good time. It's a blast.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'll tell everybody that comes on, this is you're an honored guest the second time back. This is a way for me to steal all of your good ideas. So whatever you say, I will steal it.
Well, I don't know if I have any good ideas or not, but we just keep chugging along here in Newton, Illinois, and we just kind of catch you up, I guess. I think we talked back in 2018 or 19. I don't remember when it was, but. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been pretty successful. Been playoffs every year. We playoffs every year since 2014. Last year, nobody played. But this year, we just finished up our season about a week and a half ago. We played a 6-game season. Ended up 5-1. Had a great season. Had a great time. It was a lot of fun. There was no playoffs, but I think we would have had a playoff team for sure. So we've been doing some good things here in Newton. I've had some great kids. I got a great coaching staff, and we've just been having a blast. We're excited. As one of my coaches said, I think it was yesterday, he said 99 days and we start again or something like that with football. Mm. So now I'm fully in baseball. I had about 3 weeks there where I was doing football and baseball at the same time. We were doing baseball practices in the morning and then football, or I would have football practice and then go to baseball practice. And then we had about 2 weeks where we had baseball games, and we'd have football practice as early as we could. And then I'd go and take a bunch of my football kids and go play a baseball game. So it was pretty interesting. Definitely different, but we made it. We had a good time with it. You know, everything's new, right? I mean, so, you know, we never played football in March and April in Illinois, so we did that. As we was finishing up practice in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, our practice field is right there with all of the track stuff. So track's going on at the same time. There were days we had to make sure we had to move and turn around so we didn't get hit by a discus. You know, stuff like that. Like all that was just different stuff. You don't fight in the fall. It was just out there and very unique situation, but you know, I'm not the only one that had to deal with that. Everybody in Illinois dealt with that. And I think everybody did a pretty good job. We were very fortunate. We didn't have to miss any games or practices for COVID. I thought our kids did a really good job. Our school system in itself has done a great job of keeping us in school and keeping us rolling and everything else with us. So that was one of my concerns, as, you know, getting ready to get on the bus and say, you're done, you know, the other team's got COVID or you guys can't go or something like that. So that never happened, which I'm very thankful. It could happen with baseball, but so far everything's going pretty good. Mm.
So you said you play again in 99 days. So what is your plan? And I'll come back to some other questions I have about your COVID season, right. But what is your plan going forward? Because you're in the middle of baseball season and then summer, and then right. It's like boom, you know. So what's changing for you going forward then, as opposed to a normal football season?
Well, you know, one, I think you got to make sure the kids have some rest and some breaks, which a lot of our guys are in football or in baseball and track. There's not very many that's not involved in another sport, or tennis. We got some kids in tennis. And I think the biggest thing is we got to make sure they have a break in there somewhere. They got to be kids at some point. And I realize they set out almost a whole year. I get that. But yet, a lot of these guys have been going steady since January with basketball, and basketball overlapped with football. Then they went into football, and then that overlapped with baseball and the other sports. So at some point they got to have a break. Hopefully our baseball season will go till mid-June. That's the state series. And if that's the case, we probably won't get our lifting started. You know, it kind of depends on baseball finishes up. It could be finished the first week of June, or, you know, it could go a week past that or two. That's the ultimate goal, right? I mean, that's what everybody wants to do. So I think we're looking at, you know, probably opening up the weight room around June 7th and then going from there and just probably focusing on the weights and the running to start with. And then we'll kind of get into football activities as we go on. And then July will be a big month. Make sure we get, you know, have our camps, you know, we make sure we're getting all of our lifting and running done and football activities and 7-on-7s. And that's the other thing. You're trying to plan some of that stuff. You know, we always try to do a couple 7-on-7s. And so you're looking at scheduling and trying to get that ready to go. And hopefully that can be kind of a normal summer for our kids. And I think our start date's like around August 11th or something, like whatever that Monday is. I don't have it in front of me. And so it's going to be here before you know it. It's going to go fast. So, you know, I didn't take the sled pads off. You know, that was usually after the end of the season. I put everything away. Geez. And I was like, I'm just going to leave them on. You know, we're going to be using them here pretty soon. So that's, you know, there's been a lot of different things. I think a lot of Illinois coaches, if they're listening to this, they're probably in the same boat I am. But, you know, we sent our helmets off for reconditioning. Mine went on yesterday, Monday, and you're just keeping your fingers crossed that they're back in plenty of time. That's always a worry. You know, even when you send them off back in, you know, November, December, you're hoping they're come, you know, usually get them back before the end of the school. But I've heard scenarios before where, you know, it's August and guys don't have their helmets yet. So hopefully recon will go fast and all that stuff that goes with it. So you just got to kind of keep your fingers crossed and make sure everything's ready to go when we hit the ground running.
Yeah, recon. I remember a couple of years ago, a team around here sent their helmets off, and the company told them that they lost their helmets. So there were pictures in the paper of them practicing with all kinds of people's helmets, and they eventually were found. But somehow they got lost. I never quite understood. How did you lose somebody's helmets? Wow.
That'd be awful. I can imagine, you know, just even getting them back late knock on wood, I'll do a plug here. We do all Riddell, and my Riddell guy's awesome. And we always have had him on time, and I believe him when he promises he'll be back in July. I think it's July is what they're saying. I believe him. I think they'll be back and we'll be okay. But man, that's, you know, we like to hand that stuff out pretty early. And so, you know, if you do have a practice or something, kids can get a helmet on, shoulder pads on, and that's probably going to be a little bit different this summer. We won't get the helmet shoulder pads on. We're allowed 20 contact days this year, usually 20 contact days. And you can start, you can't go full contact. You can't go, you know, completely pad up and scrimmage, but you can, you know, you can put your pads on and get some work done. And we usually do, but that's going to be a little bit different this summer. We won't be padded up as much.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you get 20 days in Illinois to put on helmets and shoulder pads. Is that
right? So 20 contact days, that means it could be your camp days, you know, however you want to use those 20 or 25 days. It's only 20 days this year. That does not include your weightlifting. So weightlifting is separate. Okay. So But if you do weightlifting and running and football activities at the same time, that does count as a day, as right. a contact day. So, you know, I always do a camp week, or sometimes I try to do two camp weeks. We call mm-hmm. one mini camp. We'll do like a 3-day camp, and then we have a 5-day camp at the very end of July. And I think that usually just kind of propels us into the season. So, you know, there's 8 days right there just off camp weeks, and then I'll try to fit in, you know, 12 more, which eventually we'll do a lot of our stuff just during our weight training. So we bring our kids back up and we, you know, go through whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, offensive day, defensive day, whatever it might be at the time. And, you know, it might be as simple as having a young kid in there, trying to teach him how to play quarterback that's never played quarterback before. And that's
right.
You know, just stuff like that, or stance and starts. I mean, just really basic mm-hmm. stuff, but that does count as your days.
That's awesome. So what did you do during your COVID season that you will carry over to future seasons? Like, what's something that you did because you had to this past season that you said, hey, I might do that all the time now through more normal seasons?
That's, you know, honestly, that's a great question. The other side of that is we tried to keep it as normal as possible once we started.
Okay.
And we didn't try to dwell on COVID. I mean, it was obviously it was there and it affected us all. But, you know, when we started practice, it was a normal practice plans. I think the one thing we did differently, though, is, if this makes sense, we didn't maybe after a little bit, we kind of got away from focusing on the, and I hate to say it this way, but just like the individualism of, so we got away mm-hmm. from, you know, individual, you know, O-line running right. backs, and we did more team oriented things. We really worked on our scout teams, getting ready for the games, I guess, preparation for our games more than we trying to say. We worked on lots of plays. Let's put it that way. A lot of plays, a lot of defense stuff where maybe I coach our receivers where we would have those receiver segments where we're just working constantly on routes and catches and things like that, where we took our, cause we had some young kids and we had some new kids out that had a couple seniors that came out, three seniors that came out for the first time, and they were big contributors. They never played football before. So, but we had such a short amount of time that we had to teach them the game and learn plays and things like that. So we had to teach them the very basics and then jump in to prepare that week for that team. So I think that was the biggest thing that made the biggest changes, where in August in the normal season, you know, we're spending a lot more time with that individual effort, and that's going to have to come from our summer, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest thing. Now the kids kind of enjoyed that, but I could also tell that, you know, in the games, maybe we weren't as fundamentally sound in some areas that we normally are. And it definitely has to get back to a focus of that. But it also showed us that there can be a good, and to answer your question, this will answer your question. I think there can be a good mix of maybe we don't have to spend so much time on 6-inch steps on offensive line. Although that's very important and we want to make sure they know it's important, but we can also really making sure that our plays are crisp and clean. And so maybe a better balance. And I think that's what we got to take, into the future, is a better balance. The other thing too, is one other thing is we really, and you've had people on your podcast talking about this, we really cut down our practice time. You know, we never went past 2 hours, and we got to where we were down to about an hour and a half easily and getting everything accomplished. And you know, I've heard you've had guys on the podcast talking about that before. Like, you know, you can get a lot done if they're focused and you get after it and you go hard. You know, you don't have to be out there three hours, 4 hours. I mean, that's just not how it is. And we found our kids were much more attentive and focused and worked harder and understood that. And I did not see any let up in our games. You know, I know a game lasts a lot longer than that, but what I saw was our kids were more focused and dedicated to what we were doing in practice. So, you know, that's another thing we could probably carry over is cutting back a little bit in practice time. I still think that our big practice days are Tuesday, Wednesday, most people are. And I still think that, you know, that Wednesday for us has to be a pretty big day. There's a lot sure. that needs to be accomplished that day. Our JV, I don't know how you guys do it, but our JV plays on Mondays.
Yes, that's when ours plays.
So that Tuesday's, because we got to have those kids to help prepare. And, you know, we had a nice night. We had 50, we had 50 kids out, basically freshman through senior, which that was some good numbers. And it was kind of probably tops in our, or pretty close to being tops in our conference. But you need those kids to help prepare you, but you can't beat on them on Tuesdays. You're not allowed to anyway. There's, we have a rule in Illinois. If you play a game the next day, you can practice, but you can't have contact. And so So that's why Wednesdays are a huge day. So Wednesdays are going to be probably the long day, but we could probably cut back that Tuesday, which that used to be a long day too. And then we're finding ourselves doing a little bit more on Thursdays than what we used to. We used to do more of a walkthrough. And now we kind of, we don't get after it, but we'll get some bags out there and make sure we'll pop a bag and make sure we're, we're where we need to be and stuff like that. So there's been some changes over the last 5 years, but I think COVID and the way we coach this year is going to definitely affect some things we do in the future. And I think in probably in a good way.
Yeah, no doubt. We faced some roster number issues with injuries this past year, and we ran plays on barrels for the first time in my career. And I thought to myself, obviously it doesn't replace bodies, but if you're trying to, you know, install a play or get some timing, like, man, this is a good idea. You know, this is something that I think to myself, oh, I should have been doing this before in a period of practice. And now it, it'll be something I probably carry over going forward. And like you were saying, the diminished time, I mean, we played in the fall, but our time was diminished, but it made you focus more on what's really important. So like you were saying, are you really, are you hammering home something that's not really going to make a difference because maybe you had more time in a normal, year, and you're learning to focus on, okay, what do I really need to get done? Is that kind of accurate? Am I depicting what you were talking about? Like
I think that's
fine.
Exactly
what you need to do.
Right. We needed, we had to focus on what we need to get accomplished to try to win football games. And, you know, I think a lot of people looked at it and said, oh, you know, it's a five, it's a six game season. There's no playoffs, winning, losing doesn't matter. It does. And I even at some point in my head said, oh, it doesn't, you know, if we win six games, we lose all six. Does it really matter? It does. It yes, matters it for does. Your program and it matters for those kids. And, you know, so our job as coaches to work as hard as we possibly can to make sure that they have success and to try to get them ready. So I think the biggest thing is we shifted our focus on how do we get them ready for the game and, the, you know, the preparation for the other teams. So, you know, the first, you know, we really only had about two and a half, I think it's 2.5 weeks to prepare for the first game. So that, you know, that first week you're kind of, and, you know, some of the stuff we did do in the fall, we had some practice time in the fall. And so they didn't come into this, you know, cold turkey and not knowing anything. They knew, they retained quite a bit of information. But, you know, we just really, like you just said, we really focused on what we needed to know for right now to play these games. We spent a lot of time on special teams. And our special teams were good. Are they really, we had great, we had two really good kickers and a really good punter. And then we focused tremendously on the coverage. And I can say our coverage was great on kickoff and punts. Our return game was really good. Our extra points and all that was really, really good because we spent a lot of time on that. And just not that we don't spend time on that other times. We do. We do spend a lot of time on special teams. But I wanted to make sure we didn't get into a game because we weren't prepared and gave up a touchdown or something on a kick that we shouldn't have. And we did, our special teams were really good. So, so yeah, I mean, basically we prepped for the games. We really did. And it really did work out well, but I also know we'll have to go back and you know, go back to a little bit how we used to practice and just make sure we're fundamentally sound. Mm-hmm. And especially for the younger kids, as they come up, they got to learn, you know, make sure they're doing what they got to do. But, you know, I don't know. I hope this makes sense, but you can also have athletes and they may not have the best stance, but they still can get the job done. Right.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
So we had some really good athletes that had some new kids out and then returners. And sometimes fundamentally they didn't look all that great, you know, mm-hmm. with their stance or whatever it might be, but they figured it out and they got the job done and they did a good job doing it. So you can't fault them for that. And I think it's sometimes you just say, turn them loose and let them go play, make sure, you know, give them the information they need and then just let them go play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's somebody, kind of how this year was.
Yeah. And I've used this phrase with, I got this phrase from somebody, I forget who it was, but they said Muhammad Ali fought with his hands down by his side and Joe Frazier fought with his hands up top, picture perfect. Mm-hmm. And Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest of all time. So at some point, if it's productive, you just right. say, okay, that's how you do it. It's within our scheme. It's how it should be done. You're being productive with this. So let's not overcoach this. I want to get your thought on this phrase while we're on this topic. I hear coaches say this phrase, you have to coach every rep. And I find myself as a younger coach thinking I have to say something every rep. But I think at some point that becomes like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. At what point do you step in as a coach and correct as opposed to, okay, they just haven't done it enough. I'll just give them a coaching cue later.
That's a great point you brought up, because that was something we addressed in a coaches meeting at the end of the year in 2019. Actually, mm-hmm. we had a meeting in 2020 right before, you know, kind of getting ready for the season and right before COVID hit and everything was shut mm-hmm. down. And that was one of the things I talked about. And I said, we've got to stop having do-overs in practice on every single play.
Yes.
Sometimes we just got to let them play through it and we can address it later. Or you have a segment where you come back and maybe redo that play, but you're exactly right. You sometimes these kids, it just seems like it's negative. They harp on, I mean, it seems like coaches are just negative on every single rep or every single play. Sometimes you just got to let it go and then you can address it later. And I think a part of it is you got to know your kids. Some kids want to be coached hard in that situation or can take it. Some can't. And so you have to understand what kids can adjust to how you're coaching it. But you know, if we're running, you know, we're West Coast and we're an I team and, you know, we're running counter and power and trap all the time. And, you know, we run power and it looked pretty good, but we stop it. It looked pretty good, but then we stop it because of this one thing or other. And this is my offense coordinator is awesome. He's a great guy. And this is something him and I talked about because he does like to stop it. And he did a good job of letting it play out even this year. I mean, there's times you do have to stop it. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I mean, you know, if it's absolute disaster, you can't just let it go and clap your hands and say, good job, guys. I mean,
yeah, right.
You can't just keep saying good job for a job that's not well done. I mean,
there you go.
But there are some things that, you know, you can let it go. And then just, I kind of try to take notes during practice. I write it down and then maybe pull that kid to the side and say, hey, this is what you did wrong on this play, or let's try this next time or whatever. And I thought my coaches did a really good job of that. So that's definitely something, you know, we don't film every practice and sometimes we do film some things, but when we do film it, you know, that's what I said, let's let it go. We can watch the film and go and come back and look at that stuff. But I wish we had the opportunity to film everything. Sometimes I don't have the personnel to film and, you know, there's all kinds of different reasons. And sometimes you just don't even have the time to watch the film. You know, we're still teaching and everything else that goes with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you throw it on Huddle and the kids can watch it and you say, hey, look at clip number, 24 and, watch yourself on this play. So that really is helpful. But I think that's a great point. We don't have to coach every single rep. You need to coach the team and you need to coach the segment, but I don't think you have to coach every single rep. That's my opinion. But
because I find myself, I found myself just saying words like good or yeah, that's awesome or something like that. And I feel like I just became Charlie Brown's teacher. At some point you have to coach when you know the kids are going to respond to what you're asking them to do, because everybody's body's made a little different. So I've coached offensive line most of my career. And some guy's stance looks like the one in the textbook, and some guy's stance looks like something out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But if they're both getting the job done, there's no reason to try to make the player who maybe their stance doesn't look picture perfect get in a picture perfect stance, but his production falls. And that's, I think, as a coach, that's something we always have to be cognizant of. And that's my humble opinion.
I think that's exactly right. And just making sure that they know what they're doing and you can correct it on the run, but you don't have to correct every play. And the one thing I was going to actually add to that too is, I was coming through high school and even when I started coaching is, if you're running a play in practice and a bad snap or a kid jumped off the side or something like that, immediately you're running them to, we had a big ditch out here, we say run to the ditch. So it's like, then you're wasting time in practice running to the ditch and back and forth. So we've stopped doing all that. I said, this is ridiculous. We're losing practice time. And then when they get back from running or whatever it is, they're not checked in. So a few years ago, I went to, we call them FCRs, friendly concentration reminders. the kids have another name for them. They call them UFUs, and I won't expand on that.
Yeah, but, I hear you on that.
Yeah, but FCRs, and it's, five push-ups or whatever. So if a kid, let's say a Y out, jumps the snap count, we run the play. When they come back to the huddle, they'll just jump down, do it on their own in the huddle, and jump back up, and they're ready to roll. And they know that. Or we'll say, hey, we're rolling, but at the end of the practice, you owe us – two FCRs or whatever it might be. And it doesn't disrupt practice. It doesn't disrupt the reps, but it also keeps them accountable for making sure they're doing the right thing. And we've gotten away from, I don't even want to call it punishments. I didn't know that's a terrible phrase for, but just that whole thing of running to death and all that, we're not there anymore. That's not how this works. And so you still need to keep them accountable. You still need to tough them up and all that stuff, but you don't want to disrupt your practices and keep that flow of practice going. There's time they can do that at the end or whatever. And then we have, we have a segment at the end of practice. Usually we didn't really do it this year. We call them extras. And it's just a little extra time after practice. And my offense coordinator, Coach Halsey, he usually runs extras. And, he may have them, and this is for the kids who maybe were late to practice or had a detention or something like that, that, they'll have a couple of hill. We've got a small little hill. They'll have a couple of hill runs with Coach Halsey or something like that. And those are extras. And that doesn't disrupt our practice. That's just all at the end of practice. Doesn't take long, 5-10 minutes and they're done. So I think doing those type of things, not disrupting practice, and that kind of goes into the question you asked about the phrase, is we don't need to coach every rep. Don't disrupt your practice. Correct on the run as you need to, and then you can always come back to those segments. And we found it much more productive, much more productive.
No doubt. I've also gone away from just straight conditioning at the end of practice.
Yep.
I feel like every conditioning session I was a part of as a player or as a coach, you end your practice on a negative tone. You could have had the best day ever, air quotes, best day ever,
Right.
And then you're harping on kids for not touching the line or jumping the count. And I'm thinking, the more I coach, the more I think that was really not smart. That maybe we should incorporate conditioning into practice. And right. And another thing I've gone away from as a coach, seeing this as an assistant coach and as a head coach, is the county fair type stuff. And I don't know if you do that, like you do conditioning, maybe beginning of the season, like a conditioning practice. My thing that now is I just want to play football as much as we can. And then that gets them into football shape. I would love your comments on all that garbage. So I just said, that jumbling mess I just said.
Yeah. No, I got a lot to add to that. That's really good. So let me start. I understand what you're saying. So let me start with our like summer conditioning, and that's changed tremendously for us. And I think our track coach is Todd Short, and he's also, this was his 33rd season coaching football at Newton High School.
Oh my gosh.
He's been our freshman and coach that whole time. And then he's also one of our offensive line, defensive line coaches. So wealth of knowledge. He's a track coach and he does
see. Coach, you there? There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. You're back now. Okay, good. You cut out for a second.
Okay. Basically, he's talking about Coach Short and then how he has incorporated more speed training, where we went to more speed training. And so, like, our summer conditioning now is based off speed training. So we used to run, like, a lot of 800s and, have them run a mile, and we'd go do all this. We've gotten away from that. It's shorter burst, it's speed training. We're trying to do that. So with that being said, we've tried to incorporate that. And when you said county fair, that made me think about, all the station work and all that stuff
we've
done in the past, and we've gotten away from that. So in practice, the whole idea is, and this is the less is more, I guess, that train of thought and, feeding the cats, and you hear that term and all that stuff. Maybe we're not there with all that, but one thing we have done is say, look, in your drill work, you got to go as hard as you can. That's your condition. That's part of it. And then if we really do condition, maybe at the end of the practice, then it's based off the speed training. So it's not just get on the line and we're going to run gassers till you puke. I mean, that's the old way of thinking, right? Run the gassers or you're going to run a 10-minute run or whatever. We've gotten away from that stuff. So, and then we also make it competitive. So one thing I really like to do is say, you've got 5 20s, but you're racing somebody. So you get paired up with somebody similar speed and you're racing, and we tag it with 5 push-ups or sit-ups or something like that. And then they give them plenty of recovery time. So they race, they walk back, and we do it by position. So, receivers in one are racing over here, and the running backs are racing over there, linemen are racing, and, they're getting races that gets competitive. And so we try to make everything a competition. The other thing the kids, they really like this is they want to play, we usually do 40 or 50 yard tag.
Oh, man.
It's awesome. They love it. And they got to stay between the hashes, and we'll do maybe four of them. They're going as hard as they can. We always do this with pads on because they're diving and they're trying to tag people and they're having a great time. So they love that, but they're getting a full effort out of them. Then the other thing we do for fun, it's not really fun, but they love playing it, is that one of our conditionings is deal or no deal. So I'll have 10 cards. I'll have 10 cards with different conditioning things on them. So maybe it's like 5 20s or 3 40s or one half gasser or 3 hill runs, or there's always go home.
Okay.
So we play deal or no deal, and just like the game show, and I'll have those cards and they choose one and we're going, we're making the deals, and we eliminate the cards, and they're jumping up and down, they're screaming, and if they If they get to go home, then there's nothing and they're going nuts and it's a great time. If, you know, if it's like one of them is 25 pushups, 25 sit-ups with Coach Tarr, who's my special teams and running back linebackers coach.
Okay.
But that doesn't sound like much, but when he makes them do 25 pushups and sit-ups, it's pretty tough because the way he does it, you know, it's just, and they have a good time with that. That's fun. We don't do it. I mean, that's usually our Wednesday. If we have it on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So either our Wednesday is going to be deal or no deal or tag or something fun. They're still getting conditioning, but they're not walking away on a negative note like you were talking about earlier, because that's how it always used to be, right? I mean, we run our conditioning at the end and it was tough and it's hot and, you know, hey, get on the line for 10:40s and hey, we're going to do it again because you didn't run hard enough or whatever. And that's, that was not productive at all. So everything we do is based off is try to be more fast, more speed training. And that's all credited to Coach Short and Coach Tarr. And actually, we have two Coach Tarrs. They're brothers, Brock Tarr and Travis Tarr, who are a coach with us. And Brock is also a track coach with Coach Short. I mean, they've really helped incorporate a lot of this stuff. If Travis Tarr was sitting here, he'd say, now, there still needs to be some toughness in football. You got to embrace the suck once in a while. And
absolutely.
And I agree with that. I think there's a fine line there too, but that's kind of, we've changed our conditioning tremendously to more of that. And I think it's been so much more productive than what we were doing in the past. And that's okay. I mean, I grew up through that system and, the way we did things, it was hard. And I think it definitely created some toughness and some football players, but it is different now. And I think there has to be a sense of, you've got to learn to adapt to the changes and you don't have to change everything, but you got to adapt to it. And I think that's what we've done.
That's awesome. Yeah. Football is always going to be a blocking and tackling.
Sure. You know,
getting off blocks, physical toughness. Like you were saying, you're always trying to find the best way to do it. And I remember I was looking at the date of our first podcast. It was 2018. Where does time go? It seemed like it was not that long ago. It was December, but still 2018.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were talking to me back then about explosive training, and it just makes sense with football because football is short burst, minimal rest, or not minimal rest. Actually, it can be up to 25 or 40 seconds depending on the play clock. Sure. And then you're just going as hard as you can again. And it would make sense to condition like you play the game.
Right. Absolutely. I agree. And I'll be honest with you, that was hard for me to grasp, to wrap my head around. I got to give it to Coach Short, who's spent a lot of time clinicking and TSC or it's Tony Holler, who's here in Illinois, but he's been all over and does these, it's the Feed the Cats program and all this stuff. But then Coach Short, I mean, he probably was really frustrated with me for a long time. Like, why am I not, you know, just buying in? And I don't know if I'm even 100% bought in, just because they're still in the back of my mind. Like, well, that's not how we used to do
it. Sure. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's just so ingrained in there. But what we are doing is working. And, you know, as far as making our kids faster, our weight program has changed, you know, tremendously. Coach Travis Tarr has done a tremendous job with our weight program. And it's not just go in there and pound the heavy weights all the time. It's you know, trying to get you explosive. We're not doing CrossFit. Let me just clarify that. That's not the CrossFit stuff, but we've learned, I know, some eccentric type lifts and workouts and things like that it's making our kids better athletes. And it's also helping with our joints and things like that. So we still pound heavy weight. Don't get me wrong. That's still a big part of it, but there's a lot of explosive, you know, training with our lifting. You know, it's just changed so much. And it's for the best. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, I think we're on the right track. Now my only one thing with COVID was we weren't in the weight room very much. And that was one of my biggest worries going into the season was we did not get the lifting time because we weren't allowed in the weight room for the longest time. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't allowed to go in there. And then when like at the end of January, 1st of February, they said, okay, now you can go lift. Well, that wasn't very much time. You know, we got as much in as we possibly can, but we still had kids that had, you know, they didn't think we were going to play football. So they had some jobs and, you know, different things that we tried to accommodate. Just everybody said, hey, don't worry. You know, we're going to make this work the best you can. We just want you to play. And they did. We ended up with a couple pretty significant injuries, but for the most part, we had three significant injuries, but for the most part, we were pretty healthy.
Coach, that's awesome. Coach, as we land the plane on our interview here, I would love some wisdom. I do this, I think, about every time with a coach, but I would love some wisdom for a young coach out there looking to get into the profession. What are some things they can do to help themselves become the best coach that they can be?
Well, there's no doubt listening to your podcast before. I mean, you've had a lot of really, really good coaches on here, much better than me. And have said probably the same thing I'm going to say, but, you know, listen to your peers and try to get into a
You there, Coach? Sorry. Oh, you're good. Go ahead. Okay. I got you now.
And just, you know, get into a system that that will allow you to grow and then be like a sponge and absorb everything and, you know, take the time once clinics, you know, start back, you know, get to a clinic or, you know, watch things, listen to podcasts, all those different things that you need to do and be willing to do the little things too. This is something I was talking to my baseball team about this today from a baseball standpoint. We've got to be willing, you know, nobody's bigger than the team. Nobody's bigger than the game. So I don't, like I was talking about chasing foul balls. I don't care if you're a senior or not, go chase a foul ball. What's the best thing for the team? And that's the same thing with coaching. What's the best thing for the team? And also what's the best thing for you is do the little things. If the, you know, be the guy that's willing to be there early and do all the little jobs that nobody else wants to do. You be that guy. And that's how you can learn from it. And of course, and continue to learn because it's more than just the X's and O's. It really is. There's a lot of good X and O guys out there, but they're not good coaches. And I think we know that. I mean, there's a lot of good X and O guys, but they don't know how to relate that to the kids. They don't know how to relate that to the programs. And, you know, I try to do my very best with, you know, and I hope that if I have a young coach on my staff that they can see that I try to work hard at it. I hope I'm working hard at it. I try to do, like I said, I try to put as much into it as I can, but I also, and my wife would probably disagree with me, but I think, you know, you got to take time for your families too. I mean, football can't consume you. I think that, you know, we do spend a lot of time away from our families, but I think at the same time, it can't consume us so much. So you have to have that balance, but, you know, be willing to do the little things and be a sponge and get out there and, you know, work, you know, get to the clinics and everything else and get in with, and just, don't understand just the X's and O's, but understand how to run a program. And I think that's going to take you a long ways. And don't, you had somebody else say this and I agreed with them so much. Don't think you have to be a coordinator or something like that right away. You know, be a position coach and be willing to coach multiple positions. Learn. I think maybe you even said this, but you know, everybody probably should coach offensive line at some point. I did for years.
Absolutely.
I did for years. I never played offensive line, but I coached offensive line for a long mm-hmm. time, and I really enjoyed it. And there's days this year that I went back, or because our schedule was kind of messed up, but one of my coaches couldn't get there on time some days because of the scheduling, and I coached offensive line a couple of days, loved it, because I hadn't done it for a while. But be willing to coach, to learn how to coach different positions. And, you know, you're going to find your one thing that you're good at. But, you know, I coached for several years before I became a defensive coordinator. And I probably became defensive coordinator even probably too young. And we had a lot of success early. And I thought, oh, man, I'm really good at this. And then all of a sudden we had a bad year. I was like, what happened? I thought I was really good at this.
Yeah.
No, I need to work harder. And but I didn't know it all. And I still mm-hmm. know. You know, I'm not even close to knowing it all. So I don't know who said on your podcast, but they were exactly right. Don't feel like you have to be a coordinator right away. Be willing to coach all the different types of positions. And you know, even if you become a coordinator, you're not going to change the world just because you're that coordinator.
Absolutely.
It's already been done. I mean, the schemes have been done. The plays, I mean, they're all the same plays. They may be designed differently in this segment or in this offense or that defense or whatever. It's pretty much all the same. I mean, right? I mean, it's,
yes.
You know, Howie, you know, I think you're talking about, you guys ran some like stuff out of the gun that was wing T oriented. But it's the same type of plays. You know, we ran defensively. I ran everything from a 3-5, 3-4 to 4-3 to 4-4. And there's, you know, you tweak it here or there, but the basics has always been done. So just because you're a coordinator doesn't mean, and you come up with a new plan, it's been done before.
Right.
Don't think you're a miracle worker. But that's a good job. I mean, we want to praise those guys for that. So I don't know. Maybe that's not a great nugget for you, but I think you've had guys on here talking about it and has said it very well. But we need young coaches. We need to keep people in this profession. There's no doubt about it. Hey, we need young officials. We need
officials. Yes, we do.
If anybody's listening to this, I tell you what, throughout the whole United States, we need officials. And we'll stop coaches. As coaches, we'll stop yelling at you. How about that? You know, so you get,
yeah, no doubt. Guys, gee whiz.
Get these guys officiating. We need officials so bad. But I talked to a friend of mine. He coaches at another school here, and he's the head baseball coach and AD. And they went to go play a game today, and he said that that the other team was going to have to cancel because they didn't have umpires. And he said, "I'll umpire." They said, "You're going to do that?" He goes, "Absolutely." He goes, "I'd rather
absolutely
my team play."
Yes.
So his team played. I think he mainly is JV. He said his varsity didn't play very much. It was and so he umpired while they played just so they could get a game in. And that's where we're at now. We need officials in every single sport. So okay, so there's a good, sorry, I'm jumping around here, but there's a good
that's
thing
good.
For young coaches, back off of the officials. And I wish somebody had told me that. I'm pretty good now, but and I have my moments. Don't get me wrong. We all do.
Yes, but we all do. Yeah.
Back when I was a younger coach, you know, I was a kind of a hothead and everything else, and I should have backed off. And I wish somebody would have grabbed a hold of me and said, you know, slow down, back off of these guys, you know. And I've had to learn that the hard way over all these years. And you have a much better relationship with those officials down the road. And I do, I feel like I've got a good relationship with most officials around now for the most part. And that makes a huge difference. You know, when you go into a game, not meaning you're going to get an extra call or not. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
And that's not what I'm looking for. And I want the integrity of the game to stay the way it should be. But you know, it just makes it much better. And those guys want to come back to your place. You know, if you're at the home game, they want to come back to work for you guys. And that's important. So that's probably my biggest advice for young coaches. Stay off the officials. Stay off of them.
There you go. I can get hot and cold. And this past year, I really focused on, hey, let's not, you know, they mess up like I mess up. Let's make sure we're, you know, keeping it down the middle lanes there, coach. Yeah. That's the biggest advice I need to take.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I was not good at it, and I still have my moments. It's not that I'm perfect. There's no doubt. But I think now when I have my moments, I've built those relationships that the next, you know, one breath I'm kind of angry, and the next breath I'm, you know, joking around with them. You know, it's, you know, I think that's the difference. And we had a coach here. He retired a couple of years ago. He was our basketball coach for a long time. And he was like that, you know, he could get after him pretty good, but he had such a great relationship. And that was a guy I could learn from. And I did learn from him. You know, he was really good about that. And I think that took me taking a step back and watching him, how he handled officials and how much better it made it for his team and for our school district. And because we're, you know, the thing too, we're representing our school districts. And, you know, I'm proud of our district. I'm proud of everything. You know, I'm from here. I love our school district. You're representing that school when you go out there. So we need to do it in the best way possible. And like I said, I don't want somebody listening to this to go, well, I saw you yelling at an official, you know, not too long ago. Yeah. I mean, I've had my moments. I still do. But
sure.
You know, but I think there's still there's room for me to grow even on that part of it.
That's awesome.
After all these years.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, we all have stuff to do better. Coach, thank you for coming on. You're always full of wisdom. Thank you for your friendship. And this has been wonderful.
Well, Zach, I tell you, man, you are awesome. And we wish you the absolute best. I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for this. And I really enjoy getting all these guys on here. And, man, it's changed my coaching life just having your podcast, because it – you know, anytime I'm in my vehicle or going somewhere, I think last summer when I was going to Florida on vacation, it was like 16 hour drive. I think it was mine to the football coach up for 16 straight hours.
Just wow.
You and probably the Office podcast. I jumped back and forth.
There you go.
But it was, you know, you do a great job, and I really appreciate it. We wish you the very best of luck, man.
Awesome, appreciate man. It. Thank you. Appreciate it. You're a good man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.